sisters, brothers, and friends in the struggle. I bring you warmest and militant greetings from the Philippine Women's Center of Ontario, CICLAP Ontario, and the Filipino-Canadian Youth Alliance. We have come here today in solidarity to denounce the escalating attacks on one of the most marginalized and exploited sectors of Canadian society, the migrant and immigrant communities.
I'm Joy Shosan, from the chairperson of the Philippine Women's Center of Ontario.
I'm wondering how you feel about how the march went today, and just some of your reflections on how the course of the afternoon has been.
I think it went very well. There are a lot of people who came and marched in solidarity against the escalating deportation of migrant, immigrant, refugees, and undocumented people. And it is also a testament of this community's assertion against the attacks that are now more and more becoming, that are increasing more and more today.
What particular attacks have been seen within the Filipino community?
Within the Filipino community, on our experience, it's mostly the deportation of Filipino live-in caregivers who are unable to complete the 24 months requirement within 3 years under this program. So we have a group of very vulnerable group of people who, because they are not able to complete this due to pregnancy, illness, or death of the elderly that they are taking care of, the long processing delays of their work permits and job offer, and for those reasons they are arbitrarily deported by CIC.
Can you just explain just the basic details of that regulation?
The Live-In Caregiver Program is, there are three fundamental pillars under the LCP, and they are, you have to live in with your employer for 24 months within the 3 years that you entered Canada, so you have to complete that within 3 years. They are given temporary status, so they have to renew that every time they change their employers, or like every year if they are with the same employer. And also it's employer specific contract, so you can only work for one employer at a time, so you can't really work for or try to get other jobs to augment the meager income that a live-in caregiver is getting paid.
What are the general conditions for a lot of these workers?
A lot of the Filipino live-in caregivers face long hours because they live in their employer's homes. A lot of them work more than the mandated 8 hours and are not given overtime pay. The majority are paid less than the minimum wage if you really calculate the number of hours that they've worked. A lot of them have been victims of sexual, physical, and verbal abuse. So there's a lot of exploitation and oppression, particularly because of this live-in requirement. No, I don't think any other Canadian or any other worker would really like to live with their employer throughout the duration of their employment, right? But then again, like, this is where, you know, the recruitment of highly skilled, highly educated group of women, 93% of whom are from the Philippines, come here to Canada to fill in a labor need that no other Canadians would like to take, and that is the domestic work.
Yeah. And what are some of the challenges of organizing or providing a network for these women?
I think one of the biggest challenges right now is their live-in conditions. Some of them are only given the weekend. Most of them have weekends as their days off, but others are only given one day. And because of the live-in their live-in situation, a lot of them are left isolated from the greater Filipino community. So I think that's one of the challenges, is actually going out there and you know, actively outreaching to this group of Filipinos.
And through organizations like yours, are you seeing that there is sort of an incremental growth in that organizing happening now?
Like right now, with our campaign to stop the deportation, we have been getting a lot of support from the community, and also a lot of our Filipinos under the Live-In Caregiver Program are now coming out saying their current situation. A lot of them have been deported, and a lot of them are still facing deportation because they haven't completed the 24 months, and some of them are in that sort of... they already know that they will not be able to complete the 24 months. So through this campaign, we are able to outreach to a number of people who have been calling us and saying about their situation and finding out more, like what are the reasons also that they're not able to complete this stringent requirement.
Yes. And so what would your key demands then be of the government?
Well, right now, like our demand for CICs to actually really review this Live-In Caregiver Program. For over 20 years now that they have this domestic worker program, Citizenship and Immigration Canada has refused to sit down with us, like the Philippine Women's Center and other advocacy groups like the National Alliance of Philippine Women in Canada, to really to review the realities of the Live-In Caregiver Program, the experiences of the women under this program. They keep denying us that meeting. They don't want to meet about it. We are calling for the scrapping of the Live-In Caregiver Program. We want our Filipino Live-In Caregivers to come here as landed immigrants already when they come here, so that they are not also always being threatened of deportation if they asserted to their employers, or you know, if they decided that they don't want to work there anymore. It's always that threat of deportation that you know, that just keeps them sometimes from coming out and telling other people about their experiences.
And just finally, how do you feel in terms of the movement here in Toronto around the No One Is Illegal campaign at large, and also seeing the growth of the movement in the United States in recent weeks?
I think it's about time. Like it is actually very positive that you know, like more and more we are showing that as people of color, as communities of color, we are not just passive about our situation, but we also have a long history of resistance, and we will continue this history of resistance in our struggle for equality, our Gen Y in development, and also for a just and lasting peace for us as communities of color here in Canada, or in North America for that matter.